Cobain died 17 years ago, and as his former bandmate and now Foo Fighters frontman Dave Grohl sings in a new song, let's change the subject to someone else. But the BBC's Tom Bateman found that's hard for some people to do.
It's April the 8th, 1994. News is just emerging that Kurt Cobain, lead singer of the rock group Nirvana, is dead. His body has been found at his Seattle home by an electrician. He died, it seems, 2 or 3 days earlier from a single gunshot wound to the head.
This is Kurt Cobain's residence. The electrician was going to do some repair work. He went up to above the garage. When he looked inside, he saw a man lying on the floor. It was obvious this man is dead from a shotgun wound to the head.
The suicide of Kurt Cobain might be just another tragic story of a young person who couldn't cope with life if it weren't for the resonance he had with an entire generation.
Everyone's gathering in Seattle tonight. We're going to all stay together and try and comfort each other.
Fans brought flowers, notes, even candles. And like Erica Miller, they brought their grief.
It's really difficult, I mean, even though we don't even know him.
I don't think that I've come across something that's moved me as much as Nirvana's music has.
In 3 short years, Nirvana's dirty grunge sound had given rock music the energy many thought it needed. And the group had sold millions of albums worldwide. Kurt Cobain's lyrics were full of pain and alienation, and they spoke to a generation. But Kurt himself increasingly struggled with heroin addiction, illness and depression. A coroner would later rule he'd taken his own life. Within minutes of the news of his death, one Los Angeles radio station, K-Rock, had received 200 calls from distressed fans. The station was so worried about the emotional state of some of those calling in that day, it set up a helpline.
If you've got something on your mind about all of this, I mean, certainly it's going to hit a lot of people really hard, and certainly people have been in that position, maybe even come that close to thinking about it. And if something like that's on your mind, you want to express that tonight, you know, feel free to call.
Underneath the bridge, top is strong.
I suspect that this will become one of those things for quite a lot of people, you know, in the way that the death of James Dean became, or Buddy Holly in another generation. I think people will be saying in 10 years' time, you know, do you remember where you were on the night Kurt Cobain died?
I was backstage at a gig in this really bleak concrete squash court. Everywhere you went, there were phones ringing and people... people just stopping in their tracks.
I remember the very moment when I first got the phone call. A radio station that had been tipped off that a body had been found at Kurt's house called me prior to the news breaking on the air. And my initial response, despite knowing everything about Kurt's troubles, was, it can't be Kurt. It's got to be some other drugged out friend of his.
There was always Kurt Cobain, his dead stories. It was like Lord Lucan sightings or something. And so you kind of become a bit blasé to it. And on that particular day, John Silver, the manager, called me because Anton, there's been a body found or something. And I'm like, for a second, you know, your whole world just comes crashing around you. And you're just like, he can't be dead. He's the first person I ever knew who died. And, it's just, even now, there's not a day that doesn't go by where I don't think about him.
2 days after Kurt Cobain's death, thousands of fans gathered for a candlelit vigil in Seattle. At the vigil, a tape was played of Kurt Cobain's widow, the musician Courtney Love, reading out the note that had been found at their home, in which Cobain talked about how he no longer felt the old excitement listening to or creating music.
I feel guilty beyond words about these things. For example, when we're backstage and the lights go out and the manic roar of the crowd begins, it doesn't affect me the way in which it did for Freddie Mercury, who seemed to love and relish in the love and adoration from the crowd, which is something I totally admire and envy. The fact is, I can't fool you, any one of you. It simply isn't fair to you or to me. I'm too much of an erratic, moody person, and I don't have the passion anymore. And so remember, I don't remember this because this is a fucking lie. It's better to burn out than to fade away. God, you asshole. peace, love, empathy, Kurt Cobain.
Kurt Cobain's bandmate Dave Grohl is now the frontman of the hugely successful group Foo Fighters. Grohl speaks rarely in public in any detail about his friend's death, but even now, all these years on, in an interview in a London hotel room, he told me how Kurt's death still haunts him.
You know, it's something that comes back all the time, you know, almost every day. So it's just a part of my life, you know, just as Nirvana becoming a really popular band is a huge part of my life, so is that. You know, there's moments in my life that I really consider these markers. I remember the day this happened.
What do you remember about it?
Well, you can imagine, you know, if you've ever lost someone really close to you, it's terrible, it's heartbreaking, it's the worst thing in the world, it's just really difficult. So I actually remember the next day waking up and feeling like, wow, I am waking up today and he's not. So I really have to take advantage of this time that I have, you know, and that's kind of been the way I've lived my life ever since then. Like every day I wake up and I'm truly thankful for everything that I have. So that's what happened.
But there's a key difference. I mean, you say anyone who's lost someone will know how it feels, but it's very different in your kind of situation because the personal becomes the universal. It's what everyone's talking about. And You've got this whole, I mean, particularly after Kurt Cobain's death, you know, all sorts of stuff being written about it, conspiracy theories and what have you. I mean, how does it change it trying to deal with something when the whole world's talking about it? And really with someone like Kurt Cobain who came to represent that generation and that sort of angst of the age.
Well, I mean, you have to imagine that after a while, like, I'm not really telling you the truth right now, you know? Why would I tell you how I honestly feel about something so personal? You're a journalist, and this is going out on the radio. You're not really entitled to knowing how I feel about these things because they're mine, you know? And I'm doing you a favor by being really nice and kind of polite about talking about this, but I don't really like talking about this. But I understand because of the band and the popularity and stuff that people want to know. But in a lot of ways, I have as many questions as anybody else. So, you know, we're just human beings. It's one of those things that when someone becomes so iconic that they seem almost more than human or inhuman, it's hard to imagine that the real simple human emotion that goes along with like something as tragic as death. I wouldn't be here right now if it weren't for Nirvana, and I have so much respect and love for the past, and there were so many good things that happened. Unfortunately, the thing that people talk about the most when it comes to Nirvana is Kurt dying, but we did some good things too, you know, and those are the things I like to remember.
He's not the only one that likes to remember Nirvana. The album Nevermind is now considered a seminal work in rock music, a grunge masterpiece that, like Cobain himself, became the major influence to an entire generation of new bands. Let me take a ride, cut yourself,
want some help, please myself. That report from Tom Bateman of the BBC. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us to see what the week brings here and now. Maybe she would like some food. She asked me to untie her. She's a very nice woman.